Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. It's Friday night, and I'm going to share a little bit tonight. I've done this a long time ago, and I thought I'd share it again tonight. And Brother Jimmy, we're going to get started here. Jimmy's going to do some reading for me, so I'll turn it over to him for right now.
The Parable of the Lost Son. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to marry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house and heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry, would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you, I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never give me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who was devoured your livelihood with harlots, they killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that you should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jimmy. Folks, I'm going to talk a little bit tonight, and I'm going to tell a couple of stories, actually. And before we get started, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together again on the line. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to share. Lord, I pray that this story will minister to each and every person that hears it, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you again for the opportunity to share, and Lord, I just again pray that lives are touched, and whoever needs to hear it the most, Lord, let it be revealed to them, this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jimmy just read that story. I have to, myself, when I hear these stories, I see things unfold in my mind. You got this father, and obviously he's a man of wealth. And these stories, I got to back up, these stories are going to be a couple thousand years apart in different parts of the country, and they'll connect toward the end. You'll see when we get there. And you just got to wonder the conversation, or I do anyway, I got to wonder the conversation that was had with the father and the son, and how he convinced his father to just give that to him. It kind of makes you wonder if there was an argument or a fight, and he done it just because he was angry and was done dealing with his son. But it doesn't say that, but it just makes me wonder. And so anyway, like I said, it was obvious he was a man of wealth, and he gave the son his portion. And this was kind of disrespectful. This is Jewish culture. This was disrespectful to Jewish culture. This was a symbolization of he wished his father was dead already. He didn't want to wait to inherit what he had coming to him after his father had passed. And so his father gave in to him and gave him what he wanted. And the story says the son leaves and goes into a faraway country. And can you just imagine? Now think about this for a minute. This is what comes to my mind. I get the picture of a big city like, say, Las Vegas. And you roll into town and you got all this dope. You got all this money. Now, it don't take too long if you roll into town and you're living it up to gather up some loser friends to help you squander all this money and this wealth, men and women alike. So you know the party was on. You had all these loser buddies and women and probably gambling, you name it. And before too long, all the money was gone. And sounds to me like in the story, all these loser friends are probably gone too. He just left there, and there was a famine in the land, and he began to be in need. And it got so bad that he hired on with a citizen of that country and taking care of the pigs. And in Jewish culture, that's as low as you can get, is messing with the swine. And the young man got so down in the dumps and hit rock bottom that he was ready to eat the husks of whatever the pigs were eating, just whatever was left over from what the pigs had. So he was down in that pig pen of life, wallowing around in it. But nobody would give him nothing. And he got to thinking back. He started remembering home. He got to remember his father's house and all that he had, that his father's servants had more than they could eat. And here he is in a pig pen with nothing. So he starts getting a plan together, and he decides to go back, and he thinks to himself, I know what I'll do. I'll go back, and I'll just come to my dad and tell him that I'm not worthy to be his son, but to hire him as one of his servants. At least he'd have food to eat. And this is how far down this young man had got. So he went over this and over this in his mind. Now, this is what I keep thinking when I hear this story. So he leaves and he goes home, and he's rehearsed this story, and he crests the hill and he's walking toward the house. The story says his father looks and sees him from afar and runs out to meet him. He ran out to meet him. It tells me that the father had been looking for his son's return. He might have been sitting on that porch day after day thinking about what I'd said earlier. Maybe there was a fight between them, and there was regret there. There was regret with the son. I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't say. But it does tell you that the son, that it does make it clear that the father was waiting for the son to come home. So the son went through his little skit there. Daddy, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. Please hire me as one of your servants. And the father wouldn't even let him finish the story. He threw his arms around him. He kissed him on the neck. He immediately commanded him to put the robe on him, the finest robe on him, sandals on his feet, a ring on his finger. he also should kill the fatted calf. They had a party. And the other son, he didn't like it. It made him mad. He was jealous with envy. He thought all that was going to be his. And now his brother that went off into the world has come back. And he was not happy about it. And we'll stop right there. Just so remember where we left off. We're going to go into the future a couple thousand years or so to 1976. And I'll try to tell this story the best of my ability to remember. I'm driving down the road, so I can't read it. But this story begins in a little town in Missouri in 1976. A young man has just turned 16. He thinks he knows everything. Thinks his mom and dad are stupid. So he's about half rebellious. Living in the world, started to drink, stuff like that. This is in the summer of 1976. He had just turned 16. He had got an old car, and he decided that he was going to leave home. He was going to go to his faraway country, his faraway land, just like the first son. His mom and dad were divorced, and he talked to his mom, and his mom tried to talk him out of it. She didn't lose her cool. But her mom tried to talk him out of it, tell him, son, no, please just stay, finish school. He wouldn't have nothing to it. And she said, well, we need to talk to your dad. So the dad come over, and the young man and his stubbornness and his pride, he really didn't even know whether his dad loved him or not. He didn't really know where he stood with his dad. So the dad come over, and they talked about him leaving, and the father and the son ended up out in the front yard into a fight. The last words they spoke to each other weren't very pleasant. The father got mad and left. The next morning, the son loaded up everything he had and headed off into his faraway country. It's like the son in the first story. As he's driving down Highway 71 down through the Boston Mountains in Arkansas, in his mind he's thinking, I finally made it. I'm finally getting out from under mom's wing. I don't have to listen to her fight with my dad anymore. I'm going down here and I'm going to do things my way. He's got family in this far-off country. So he goes and he stays with his grandmother. His grandma lives there. He's got some cousins there. He's got these two cousins. Actually, there's three of them. One of them's off in the military, and the other two are, they're all three brothers. The other two that are there, they're in the roofing business, and they're 7 and 8 years older than this young man, and he just looks up to them. He holds them in high regard. He worships the ground that they walk on. And he would stay with them some, with his grandmother some, and he started working with them in the roofing business. Started making his own money. And it went good for a while. He was helping his grandmother out for her money. But these two cousins that he idolized, the lifestyle they lived was a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol. And it wasn't long till this young man was right in the middle of it, living a pretty wild life, just like the son in the first story. And he got to the point where every penny he made, he squandered it. He blew it on alcohol or pot, getting the buzz, living that wild life. He was starting to create problems for his grandmother. He started staying at a cousin here and there, and he had gotten picked up for shoplifting. and only got let go because of his grandmother, grandfather's name. His grandfather had passed on previously, a few years previous. But the people that owned the store knew them. When they found out who he was, they dropped the charges. They let him go. But he had just gotten back down to the bottom of the barrel. All this time, he knew that he was living wrong. All this time, he would get to thinking about home and think about going back, but he wasn't going to give in. He was stubborn. He would call his mom every once in a while and talk to her and tell her how great things was going, but deep down inside, the mother knew that it was just a front. Well, one night, the young man got down to the bottom of the barrel, down in that pig pen. And he called his mom. He was stoned out of his mind. And he got to talking to her, and he says, "Mama," he's crying and carrying on, and he says, "Mama, I'm gonna kill myself. I can't take it anymore." And I don't remember what the mom said to the young man in this story. And I don't remember now whether he hung up on her or he just walked off and left the phone dangling. But it left the mother with a very uneasy feeling. And again, I don't remember what the mother said to the young man, but she must have said something. So when the mother realized that he wasn't there on the phone anymore, she started praying. And she also made a phone call. This was about 10 o'clock at night. It was in the wintertime. It was snowing. The next thing the young man knows, it's about 7 o'clock the following morning. He's at one of his cousin's house, passed out in the floor, and there's a knock at the door, and he hears this knock, and he just lays there. He's still about half drunk, half hungover. He's thinking someone needs to get that door. And finally, somebody opened the door, and guess who was standing there? The father that he didn't think loved him. His mom got off the phone that night, started praying, and called her ex-husband, the boy's father. And the story goes that on a good day, that's about an 8-hour drive. You got a 10 o'clock phone call in the middle of the night, snowy night, and the father was knocking on the door at 7 o'clock the next morning. It's almost like the father, like in the first story, had been looking for his son. And like the father in the first story, he came running. Now, these two stories turn into one story at this point. They're a story of how they're a story of unconditional love, mercy, grace, forgiveness, restoration. The story of the first story you hear is in the Bible. It's in Luke 15:11-32. It's a story of the prodigal son. And I don't know who the two people were in that story. I don't know who the father and the son were in that story. Jesus himself told this story. But I know who they symbolize. The father in that story symbolizes our Heavenly Father. and his unconditional love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. The Son represents the lost, the world. The Son that wasn't glad to see his brother represented the Pharisees in that day. He had a religious spirit about him. His reaction to his brother coming home let you know right then and there, he didn't really care about his dad. He didn't really care about his brother. He was just putting on until his dad died so he could get it all. He had that religious spirit about him, just like the Pharisees. The Bible doesn't say what happened to that second son, but it tells us what the Pharisees did. They kept pursuing Christ till they crucified him. The father and the son in the second story, so many similarities to the father and son in the second story, if you haven't figured it out. If you haven't figured it out by now, the father and son in the second story is me and my dad. The father that I didn't think loved me came running. Came to my rescue. He took me home. Just like the father in the first story. He put the best robe on him. That symbolizes our forgiveness or acceptance back into the kingdom. Our sins are forgiven. We're restored back to where we were. The ring on the finger of those days, that was like your MasterCard today. Most of those rings in that culture, the Jewish culture, had the family crest, and that was a sign of your wealth, and you could go into town and you had that ring on, you could get anything you needed. His dad gave him everything. He butchered the fat calf that rejoiced when the son came home. The angels in heaven rejoice when another one of God's children come home. So we look at this story and you got to ask yourself, where are you at in this story? Are you down in the pig pen? Maybe you haven't gotten that far yet. Maybe you're still off in your faraway land. Are you like the brother with the religious spirit, just playing church? Or have you just recently come home and got the robe put back on you, the ring on your finger? And angels rejoicing in heaven. You know, as we look back at our lives, it doesn't matter what you've done. I look back at my life, and you're only hearing a little bit of my story. I can promise you that, what you're hearing tonight. But it doesn't matter. You look at this journey that we're on, and it's like a race. It doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish. And if you're listening tonight, and you think, Brother Skip, I can't come back. I've done so many bad things. I've sinned against the Lord. Well, I did too, and so many others. Jesus went to that cross once and for all, so we all could be with Him in heaven. You know, there was this story. Both of these stories have a happy ending. The father and son are reunited in both stories. The past is forgotten. They move forward, and the great thing about this, when we come home, these stories had a happy ending, but the Lord wants to give you a new beginning. It's not where you've been. It's where you're going. It's not how you start the race. It's how you finish this race. How many of you want to be sprinting at the finish line when this race is over? Well, like I said, it's not where you've been, it's where you're going. And, you know, I want to touch on something. Those two cousins that the young man in this story idolized so much, both of them are dead. Both of them died in their late 50s, and both of them died due to the lifestyle that they were living, that I was living. There's not a doubt in my mind, if my dad had not come to my rescue, I'd be right there with him. There's other cousins in this group that I'm talking about that have passed on due to their lifestyles. One was hit by a car walking down the road drunk. But there's some good news in this story, and there's some bad news in this story. The bad news is hell is real. The good news is you don't have to go. Two of those cousins I've been talking about, one of them I'm reasonably sure made things right with the Lord before he left this earth. And the other one, I'm not so sure. I've got my doubts. Tonight, I'm going to give you the opportunity to finish the race sprint when it's over. I'm going to give you the opportunity to make things right with the Lord. And I'm going to say a simple prayer. I'm going to ask you to follow along. Now, I want you to understand something. Mere words will not get you anything. You have to be sincere in your heart. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. But you have to mean it when you say it. If you don't mean it, it's not going to do you any good. So if you're serious tonight, if you're ready to make things right with the Lord, if you're ready to come back to your Father, you're ready to get that ring on your finger and that robe over your shoulders, tonight's your night. So I'm going to say this prayer. I'm happy to follow along. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight and I realize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask Jesus to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins and wrongdoing, everything I've ever said, did, or thought wrong. I ask you to strengthen me. I ask you to wash me clean in your blood. I choose to serve you the rest of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer and you meant it, you just made the best decision of your life. We would love to hear from you. We got a Bible for you if you need it, some literature to help you in your new walk with the Lord. Maybe you didn't say the prayer, but maybe you've got some questions. You'd like to talk to someone, have someone pray with you. In either case, give us a call or a text at 816-729-6649. And we'd also like to encourage you to get into a good Bible-based church, and we can even help you try to find a church as well. It's very important to get around other believers. We can. What I'd also like to offer you our CDs. We've got a lot of different CDs. You want a copy of this one? We got a lot of different testimonies, sermons, question and answer. Those are all available to you free of charge. Just contact us and we can get you on the mailing list. All our contact information is on the website. And we've even got a mobile app you can download. Just go to your app store, search Extended Hands of God, download it for free. All our sermons and testimonies, question and answers, our schedules, everything's on there updated daily, so feel free to check it out. We just want to thank you again for joining us here at Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries, and God bless.